America, start listening now.
Wait. Where's Sam?
Sam's in Tel Aviv.
Oh.
We don't need Sam! America, start listening now!
Hello, and welcome to 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, home of your third favorite band. I'm Eric.
And I'm Danny.
And as previously discovered, Sam is in Tel Aviv at Eurovision.
At real Eurovision.
Yeah, she's at the real one. Mm-hmm. So we're going to pick up the slack a little bit. I think we're going to get a live report, as it were, from Tel
from
Aviv.
The field.
Yeah. From the battlefield that is Eurovision.
And I say from the real Eurovision because we're about to have knockoff Eurovision.
That's right.
Usually it's the other way around. Usually America gets the first thing and then it's like, you know, like street sellers in Taiwan give us a knockoff. But this is a real nice turn of events.
That's right. Yeah. If you haven't heard, the American Song Contest has been announced. It's like Eurovision, but in America.
I don't know who we're going to have competing against each other, but I can't wait until Mississippi goes up against Idaho, you know.
I mean,
battle for the ages.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's probably just not going to actually happen. That's kind of my guess. I feel like, I don't know, I just don't think
What I want to have happen is I want it to be like an exact parallel of real Eurovision. It's just
right.
like Maryland is the turkey and Maryland keeps refusing to come back each year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, New York and California keep producing bad songs, but they're automatically entered
sure
into the finals.
Yeah.
Speaking of finals and semifinals, we watched the semifinals.
Yeah,
this week.
Yeah. We've had some of an actual contest happen now. As of this recording, it is Thursday evening in America. We just finished up the second semifinal, and we have seen the
finals finished 6 hours ago,
something like that. So we've had that much time to
stew in it.
Yeah, think about what we've done, and we've seen the running order and all that for the final, which is coming up on Saturday. But before we talk about that,
yes,
let's talk about the first semifinal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In order, let's go in order. I liked the first semifinal because I was waiting for an electrician at our new house, and that's how I passed the time, was by watching the first semifinal. And it was wild? Question mark?
It was. I agree that it was wild? Question mark. We had some of the weirder entries, some of the better entries as well. I'm just going to run down the list of the artists that qualified. We had Cyprus, Slovenia, Czech Republic, Belarus, Serbia, Australia, Iceland, Estonia, Greece, and
San Marino.
That's right. A little country that could.
When we run down that list, the same thing happened with the semifinal today, with the second semifinal. There's about five or six sure bets in this semifinal. You know they're going to go through Iceland and Australia. And I think Greece were no question going to get through. And I was pretty sure the Czech Republic was going to get through too, just based on the quality of the song itself. Very pleasantly surprised that Sam was right about the performance of the Czech Republic song, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just felt like being at a nice little indie rock concert.
It really worked. It was colorful and fun. Helped maybe a little bit that it followed Slovenia. A song that I really like, but is so
chill. Oh, yes, it was
chill,
sandwiched between two unlike songs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hungary, who did not make the cut, was immediately after the Czech Republic. They're one of seven countries that did not make it. Let's run down those for a second. Montenegro, Finland, Poland, Hungary, like we mentioned, Belgium, Georgia, and Portugal. Portugal seems to be the one that people
are the most flippy about. Portugal and Poland. Portugal and Poland.
Yeah.
Not so much Poland, but after they let us know that the 11th place slot, or was it 10? Were there 9 that went through or 10 that went through from this one?
10 that went through, and then they said that there was like a 2-point difference between 10th and 11th.
I can only suspect that the 2 points were Portugal.
That would
be my guess. Portugal has gotten so much support and so much like shock that it didn't go through that has to be the one. I'm not angry or shocked that Portugal didn't go through.
Definitely
not. But I am disappointed because I wanted something very weird to be in the grand final.
Yeah, I would have really liked to have sort of that bit of weirdness. It's a one that gets people talking. Having said that, I don't quite get the level of outrage because this song is really out there.
This song is what people 50 years ago thought that future music was going to be like, and like not in like a great way either. I mean, I like this song. I appreciate its artistic merit, but this is not like. Can you imagine driving down the freeway and just like this coming on KDWB and you go, oh yeah, bump it, bump Telemovish. That's great. Oh yeah, and the ding 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 ding. Yeah, that's great. I don't think this is going to be... This is not Summer Banger 2019.
No, not at all. So I am really not shocked that it didn't make it. I wanted it to, especially when there were a couple of songs in this that I really felt were entirely unworthy, or largely unworthy,
largely
I guess.
Largely unworthy? Well, I thought that Estonia... I put Estonia on my top 10 because I thought that it was... It had a little bit of benign pop flavor to it. I think that Estonia is the one that probably squeaked in, that probably just squeaked by.
That would probably be my guess, too.
I feel that way about Serbia, too. Although a lot of people had a very strong reaction to Serbia, so good for them.
There are always going to be a couple of like Eastern European foreign language things that get through, I feel like. And this was probably one of the better ones, so
yeah.
I'm fine with that. Estonia, though, I'm not crazy about the song. I was really not crazy about the performance.
I
thought his higher register was pretty far off.
So and the entire chorus kind of dwells in it.
Yes, yeah. And that was a little bit rough at the live show. I know it was a lot of the vote comes from the jury show the day before. Maybe it was better there. I don't know. But I thought seeing it live on the run through that there was just no way it wasn't. There, it wasn't good enough, but here we are. I also felt pretty bad for Belgium. I really like that song.
You've been a champion of Belgium for a while. Belgium to me is like how Slovenia is for you and Sam. Like Belgium is just like a song that, like, if that's on a playlist, I like it being on that playlist.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't hate that song, and in certain circumstances, I like that song a lot, but. I think Elliot from Belgium not getting through is the same thing that I have about Conan from Portugal not getting through. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, once it gets down to the last two spots, it's a real race.
And I mean, I think that as much as I like the song from Belgium, I understand why it didn't make it.
Oh, why it doesn't perform well. Why it doesn't stage well.
Yeah, it didn't stage well. He didn't sing it especially well. Mm. I mean, he's a kid. He seemed a little bit nervous. But there was a little bit of choreography that was just really unnecessary for the song. And it's too bad. He's a good singer. It's a really cool song. But it just didn't work as a Eurovision song. But by and large, I'm happy with the songs that made it through.
Now, can you tell me, and this would be better if Sam were here, but Sam, why isn't she here?
God.
Is the order for the semifinals random or curated?
It's curated.
Okay.
There's definitely an attempt to kind of have it go fast, slow, fast, that sort of thing. There's some sort of draw. You draw yourself into the first semifinal or the first half of the first semifinal or the first half of the second semifinal, that sort of thing. So you'll have a general idea of where you're going to be. But your exact spot, there's some finessing that's done by the producers so that the show flows in an interesting way so that we don't get, for instance...
Three bangers in a row.
Right. These weren't in the same semi, but imagine, if you will, Switzerland, Cyprus... Malta
together,
all back to back.
I mean, they're all the same. Yeah. Not to demean them, but they're all the same formula. They're all the same feel. But yeah, how unfair it would be, because then you're mm-hmm. basically having to vote for one of them. When if they were spread out, you would maybe be voting for all of them.
Yes, exactly. So that's that. We move forward a couple of days. Actually, I take that back.
Should we move forward a couple of days, or we should talk about San Marino. San Marino happened to us, and it's a trauma that I think we have to address before we can move forward with our lives.
Now, I want to note that in the last episode, one of the unpopular opinions was that
Serhat will advance.
Yes.
Like, not that this song is good,
but it's
not. But that it will go through. And I agreed with
and
that.
And it did.
And
it
it's,
did.
It's, I was about to say it's fine. It's not fine. I need to acknowledge my feelings. I need to tell the truth. This song is such a meme. This song is coasting on the most potent, ironic adoration. And I completely understand it. But at the same time, that potent, ironic admiration has gotten in the way of acts like Portugal and acts like Poland. I want something weird, not something that is Disco Dad.
Disco Dad.
He's like the bald uncle who like has too much red wine at Easter, and then he starts talking really loudly. He doesn't get like violent or anything, but he's just talking really loud, and you're like, ah, Uncle Serhat is like, oh my god, he's doing the na-na-na thing again. But yeah, instead we don't have a quartet of Polish women screaming to the Slavic elk gods anymore. We don't have two guys in flowy costumes running around yelling about their cell phones. Instead we have Serhat. If the die had been rolled a different way, I would have appreciated that more.
Fair enough.
We can move on now.
Well, I'm just going to say it's fun and I disagree. That's it. That's all I have to say. I also wanted to just note really quickly how great was the filmed video intro to the first semifinal.
Oh, yeah.
With the little girl who sees Netta and is inspired. And all that. My goodness, that was
also
that was super super great.
Netta's opening performance was great.
Amazing.
Too.
Amazing.
I was glad to see that she had dressed like Bayonetta, with the hair and everything.
Wow.
If only she had gotten like the glasses and the huge high heels.
That would with been, guns in them.
With guns, yes. but that was great. And I before we move on to the second one, because this is a little bit of a tie-in, I adore the montages that have been constructed, the little video while they're waiting for the votes to be tabulated, but I absolutely love the little funny tongue-in-cheek hodgepodge super edited amazing retrospective vids.
Are you talking about like the you're not talking about the postcards, you're talking about
no,
like
the Eurovision history
the montage.
Ah. That's like 5 minutes long, is just edited really slick, and it like it samples all of the other stuff. They waited till the second one to give us ABBA because they know what we're here for. But
it's archival footage of ABBA?
Yeah, their archival footage of, you know. Yeah. It's great.
Alright.
Combining all of that stuff and like making them say cool, funny lyrics. That was rad. I like that stuff. I really appreciate stuff like that at award shows. And
so fast forward
to today.
To earlier today, we had our second semifinal. I like the second semifinal because there's none of... I mean, I like the intro stuff, but with the second semifinal, it's like, all right, if you're watching this, you watch the first one, you know what's going on. Let's just get to the music. And it starts, starts immediately. And so that's what they did. We had 10 more qualifiers. I'm just going to read them in running order. Switzerland, Denmark, Sweden, Malta, Russia, Albania, Norway, Netherlands, North Macedonia, and Azerbaijan. I don't know how common this exact scenario is, but I think it's a little bit interesting that all of the last six performers made it, and one of the first six performers made it. Any big surprises to you here, Dan? Anything that really stood out?
There were no big surprises here. I think this was the less interesting field for me because I think objectively there are higher quality songs in this one. That might be a controversial opinion, but I just felt like a lot of the songs in this one were of good quality. In that way, it almost felt like it was ramping towards the end. Some of these songs have been underappreciated, I think North Macedonia and Azerbaijan especially. So I think maybe looking at this list 2 weeks ago, you maybe could have seen the winners distributed a little bit more evenly through the list, like in the first semifinal. But seeing those six at the end, in retrospect, I'm like, yeah, that works for me. Albania, I feel like, was one of the two that squeaked in under the wire, close to a couple of others, especially from the reaction on the internet. People really wanted Croatia to get through instead. I personally was gunning for Latvia. I liked the little bit more laid back and chill one. I know that you called it a nap you can listen to.
I did call it a nap you can listen to, which it is. I don't hate that song. I noted in the last episode I felt like the Baltics had slipped a bit, mm-hmm. and I would say that this is, for my taste, a little bit of evidence of that. It would have been a cool thing to have in the final. It would have been a cool break between Iceland and something else, or something like that. I understand why I didn't make it, especially because this was, again, a fairly strong field. I would guess that maybe ninth place to about 12th, 13th place mm-hmm. was probably pretty tight on this.
Yeah.
I think Moldova had a very cool presentation, and it was well performed. Mm-hmm. That was pretty cool. And I think the one that bummed me out the most today was the opening number, which was Armenia. Walking out, Serbuk is, it was such a great song. Instantly, the first time I heard it, into my top four or five songs of this year. But I think we maybe talked about this in the last podcast as mm-hmm. well. When you have a song that has this big payoff, and there's this...
If it has a build and you need to hit that note,
yes.
You need to build and hit that note.
The
effect of the song depends on it.
Yeah.
And sadly...
Yeah.
Sadly, she also was saddled with being first, too.
That's always tough, but yeah.
First impression was a good song that she failed to... She failed to really kick it.
Yeah, yeah. When you have that big payoff and you have this huge high note that is the moment that people are going to cling to, you have to hit it. And that song has this big build and this dramatic. I'm not sure if it's actually a key change, but a key change esque sort of moment that has this big, big, big note
because everything drops out and it's just her hitting that note.
Yeah, yeah, and. That's the big moment of the song, and it kills me to say it.
Yeah.
She missed it, and she missed it pretty noticeably. And the part that just killed me was that when they're doing the recap videos.
Oh, they use that too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So like they choose the moment that's going to be part of that, so they can seed the video and set up the recap. So like that was going to be the part they were going to use no matter what happened, and that was certainly the right choice because that's the part you want to feature.
Oh yes.
The problem is if
this time it was not.
This time it just backfired a little bit. The consequence of that was every time they cut to this sequence of these, here are the clips from the 18 different songs, the very first thing you heard was her missing that note. And it's, I feel terrible.
Yeah.
It's a great song. She's a phenomenal performer. I hope she'll be back because I really think she deserves another shot.
At the Eurovision party, this was, after all of the votes were ranked, this was our number one finisher.
Besides Ukraine.
Besides Ukraine,
which actually ran away with it, but that's
not allowed, but I was surprised that Armenia was the winner mm-hmm. at the party. But I mean, she just missed it. On the complete opposite end of that spectrum, it is no marvel that Sweden went through. It's no marvel that Sweden is a finalist, but and I didn't say this to you while we were watching it, but I am incredibly impressed that John Lundvik's vocals at Eurovision sounded exactly like the recorded version.
Oh yeah, he's an incredible singer. He sounds
the same. Mm-hmm. Anyone has variations. Czech Republic is an easy song, not difficult, but they sound different live than they do in the studio. John Lundvik sounds like he does in the studio. It's amazing. I would love to see him in concert.
Did you catch the when they went to like the green room interview and they said, "Hey, John," and then he immediately just goes, "Hey, how you been?"
Yeah, I saw that.
And he does that
like,
for
you, son of a.
And like, I caught a little bit of the post-show press conference and he did it there too. And I really hope he does it to just everyone. all the time, even people who aren't going to understand why he's doing it. They're like, oh, this guy just sings everything. That's cool, or whatever. I don't know.
If you know for sure, because we were watching it through the Swedish website host.
Thanks, Sweden, by the way.
Yeah, thanks. They kept varying back and forth in their Swedish voiceover. Is it John or is it Jan?
I think it's just John.
I think it's John.
He was born in Britain, so I think it's just John.
Okay.
But that one turned out great. I could see that winning on Saturday. It's
if it wins, I will be.
Makes sense.
But it's, yeah. You know, I want something more. I want something more from Eurovision.
Yeah.
I want something that's just a little bit funky. Like Norway. Honestly, if Norway won, I would be absolutely thrilled, but also I would have to yell at Europe. I would be
just get out on the balcony and be like, guys.
This is great, but why have some discipline?
Here's my other question for you about the second semifinal. One of the other unpopular opinions we talked about in the previous episode, and we all agreed on this, was that Netherlands was fine, but we didn't really understand why it was the favorite. Has your view changed on that?
It hasn't.
No?
It hasn't.
Not at all.
It was a guy... I mean, the performance didn't do anything else to convince me that this is anything more than a well-done ballad. There was a little orb that decided to visit him to just see if he needed anything.
The orb was one of the stars of the show for me. I like that it just appeared and then was just like, just
came down,
okay, bye, and
he looks at
and
it,
left.
And then it leaves. Yes.
I'm not sure I know what's going on.
I wasn't sure what was going on either, because it was just him. When the orb came down, it didn't even set his piano on fire. Mm-hmm. So I was very disappointed.
I imagine there's a write-up somewhere that explains whatever deep meaning the ball of light has, but I don't need that. I just like the ball of light.
I just don't know what the appeal is. I think I have to chalk it up to just American tastes. I don't know if it's just the tastes that I have cultivated living in our pop and rock landscape, but Netherlands, compared to other songs that just... Like, I love Azerbaijan's song. I love Truth. I feel like Sweden's is growing on me, despite how obviously good it is. Usually something being obviously good doesn't make me like it, but I really like it. But compared to those two, compared to Czech Republic's song, compared to Hatari's song, compared to even, like, Australia's, which I appreciate more than love, the Netherlands is just really middle of the pack for me. Even once we've narrowed it down to the finalists... I still don't get it.
I get it a little bit. Seeing it perform, he sings phenomenally well for one thing.
He does.
That staging seems like an odd choice to me, but
it showcases him.
It showcases him. Yeah. It showcases his voice. I think you're right that there may be some cultural thing.
I don't, because I don't know what it is. There is a je ne sais quoi about this song that is not, that I'm not picking up on. You're not picking up on it. Mm-hmm. Sam's not picking up on it.
I like the song. It was a great performance. The fact that, and I'm just double checking.
It's that this one is number one in betting odds, and it's getting so much traction on the internet, and by such a huge margin.
Yeah, I feel like when I checked after the semifinal, it was like 41-42% chance of winning in the betting odds. It has since gone up. It's now to 43. If I reload this page, it's going to be 44. And that is a huge, huge margin. I don't know that Toy was ever that high. So yeah, I'm still not there. I would be fine with it winning. It's that there hasn't been a winner much at all like this since I started paying attention to the contest, and maybe that's part of it too. Maybe they're just thirsty,
very showy, yeah,
thirsty for a ballad. And obviously, we had Salvador Sobral 2 years ago, which was also a ballad, but it was not like this at all. I don't know that ballad's even the right word necessarily.
This was a more tender song than this,
right? Right. So I don't know.
We just don't know.
We don't know. If you came to this podcast looking for answers on Arcade,
you will not.
I'm sorry.
You'd have fought a...
I'm just sorry.
It's a losing game.
It is.
You don't.
You did it.
You haven't.
You did the thing that makes sense to me now.
The song, now that we have all of the finalists there, the song that I would be the most pleased at winning is Iceland Song. That's the one that has just steadily crescendoed from, mm-hmm. I love this because this is so crazy, to I love this because this is legitimately a work of genius. I think that song is one that mm-hmm. I would be the happiest to see win. That I think actually has a marginal shot.
I would say it has a marginal shot. I have a hard time seeing the people at large going with that over like Australia. I mean, Spain's not going to win. Absolutely.
Australia is the weirdness that this final needs. Also.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's going to stick out. It's in a very good spot in the running order. We'll get to that in a little bit here, but I'm excited. You know what we should do?
What?
We should talk to Sam. Let's go live to Sam.
Hello there, dear friends. Samantha Ross here reporting to you from Tel Aviv. And as you can probably tell from the little bit of a frog that is in my voice, it's been a really interesting fortnight here on the ground in Israel, getting ready for Eurovision 2019. I have had the absolute honor and pleasure of being able to explore the city and to really embrace the Eurovision experience from the ground up once again. This is my 9th Eurovision, been going since 2011 in Dusseldorf. And I'm here under the auspices of escinsight.com, a site that I've been working with since 2012. Some of my best friends in the world are part of this community. We are a website that, you know, me from the United States, head editor is from Scotland. We have Australians, we have another American, we've got Brits, we've got friends and family extended all over Europe and all over the world. And every year, whenever I come to the Eurovision bubble, as we affectionately call it here, it's like coming home. There are friends that I see here only for 2 weeks, basically out of the year, if I'm lucky. And we could just pick up and continue conversations from the previous year as if we never said goodbye. It's amazing that this traveling circus goes from city to city year after year after year, and we have absolutely no idea where it's going to take us next year. Right now, looking at the roster for this year's songs, there are about 5 or 6 nations that could easily snap up the trophy and take it home with them from here in Tel Aviv. Right now, the betting odds seem to be leaning towards one nation, but many, many other people say that it could easily be snatched. One of the things that I love most about getting to travel for Eurovision is really being able to immerse myself in the city that's hosting. Sometimes I'm more fortunate than others, in the sense that oftentimes I don't have the chance to really leave the Eurovision bubble, and I spend most of my time in the press center interviewing artists, which is great, don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. But sometimes I feel like I miss out on really getting to experience the city itself. This year, due to a mix of just the general scheduling of the year, as well as efforts that were made from the folks of the Tel Aviv Visitors Bureau, I really did have a chance to really embrace the city and get to know what's going on here in Tel Aviv. There was a national holiday that actually occurred during the first week that I was here, in which case the press center was completely closed, which left us with the chance to really go out and explore. So I took 2 days off to do basically full-day tours. One of them was over to the mountaintop fortress of Masada, ancient fortress, with also a stop in the Dead Sea. So we went very high and went very low that day. So I'd done everything from covering myself with the mud and floating in the hypersalinity of the Dead Sea to visiting an ancient monument and fortress up in the highlands. A couple days later, my friends and I went over to Jerusalem and walked through the Old City. Really an incredible place where so many faiths and so many cultures mix and mingle. It's really one of a kind, and I'm so, so fortunate to be able to have the chance to go and explore. Here within the city, I've done everything from walking up and down the beaches, which are stunning, and perfect powder sand, perfect sunny days, and also getting to explore some of the city's markets, between the Carmel Market, which is probably one of the most famous here in Tel Aviv, to the markets in the working class area of Hatikva, mm-hmm. just outside the city center, with its own incredible story of the migration, the waves of migration that have come to this town over the years. You really see two different sides of Tel Aviv. and watching a city through the lens of its food is one of my favorite ways to travel. I feel so lucky that I've been able to have the chance to really get to know the city. I didn't have the chance to embrace some of my Eurovision host towns in the way that I have here in Tel Aviv. So for that, I'm very appreciative to the tourist board here to give so many opportunities to explore. I'm so excited about this, guys. I have no idea where we're going next year. I don't know how to take it, and it's only a matter of time before we know, and the whole cycle begins again. And we all fly home to our respective homes and jobs and quote-unquote normal life until the next year when we all pick up and the circus moves on. And it's so exciting. It's so wonderful. And I wish I could share it all with you guys. But until then, that's me. That's Samantha Ross in the Press Center here in Tel Aviv. We'll catch you on the other side of it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sam.
Sounds great in the Mediterranean. I'm sure you're very jealous of us back in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so the finals tomorrow. wait, not tomorrow. For us, in 2 days.
Yeah. Although, depending on when you're listening to this, it could be tomorrow. It could be today. It could be coming up yesterday. We just don't know.
We don't know.
We have no way of knowing. If you want to let us know when you're listening to this, just check us out.
At 12 Points for America.
Yeah. At 12 Points USA. Let us know how badly we screwed up our predictions that we're about to make or whatever. So, Saturday, grand final. We just got the running order, and it's a fun running order, I think. We got 26 songs, as usual. Let's go through the first half first, starting with Malta, Chameleon, Albania.
Which is in Albanian, right? That's the one that's actually that's not in English.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Like so Malta, that. Albania, Czech Republic, Germany, Russia, Denmark, San Marino, noted finalist San Marino, North Macedonia, Sweden, Slovenia, Cyprus, Netherlands, the favorite, and Greece.
It's the first half ends at Greece?
Thereabouts.
I mean, that's
yeah,
the first half.
Yeah.
First half. Period.
Exactly when they're going to, go to the weird interludes and breaks. Mm-hmm. Could potentially break differently, but that is just mathematically the first 50% of the songs. I love Malta as an opener.
I was about to say the exact same thing. I love her going first. I think she's going to try really hard, because when they announced her as the winner, she was the last finalist announced.
Yes.
And it was down to the wire, and honestly, it was a huge toss-up on who was going to go through. And when they said Malta, when she just burst out in tears. She looked so happy that she was advancing. I can't wait to see how well she does.
I feel like in a number of years, that first spot has gone to an artist, a song that is really fun, sometimes by a younger artist, not going to win, but will do fairly.
How many times historically has the first spot won?
See, this is where having Sam would
this
be.
This is where Sam would be. Great.
Sam, do you? Oh,
she can't.
That's right.
Us. She's 7,000 miles away. I don't, rough.
So we don't know. We have no idea.
That's good. But they're following her with Albania, which is going to be a great tone shift. And then right from Albania into Czech Republic. That's going to be nice. I'm really hoping for a top 10 Czechia finish again this year.
I think they've got a shot. It's hard to say for sure, but they're going to be in a good spot. They're right after Albania, which is a very different sort of song. They'll also have Germany right after them. Germany is not a song we've been big on.
No,
it's a song that I don't really enjoy, but also kind of resent, because there were songs in that national final that I adore, and I can't believe that's the one that
and
came
we went
out of
with
it.
Sisters, which is sung by the band Sisters. Who are sisters?
Or thereabouts. Two truths and a lie there, something like that. after Germany is Russia. I think Russia's song is not as good as it thinks it is.
I think that's a great way of putting it.
But it's going to look pretty good coming out of the German performance.
Out of that.
And then we've got Denmark, which is another sort of cutesy thing. We're going from...
I have to say, unpopular opinion, Denmark felt like the wrong choice.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, I like cutesy because I loved Moldova from last year, so I'm not disinclined to cutesy staging, but this was really simple. This was about as peace, peace, love, love as it gets.
But did you see the chair?
I saw the chair.
It's so big.
I saw the ladder.
It was the biggest chair in the competition.
I think it was the biggest. I think you may be right. I'll have to check. But it was a big chair. It was one of the biggest chairs.
Okay. So we go from Denmark to your favorite.
Noted finalist, San Marino.
San Marino.
Yes.
So we're going from Germany, ballad. Russia, ballad. Denmark, fun little thing. San Marino, party.
Yeah. And then North Macedonia, who I was very... it took me until seeing the performance at the semifinal to really like it.
Yeah, once I saw it, I thought, I feel like this is a qualifier and a deserved one. Mm-hmm.
That I don't think that's going to be top 10. I think that's going to be...
No,
I think that's going to be lost in the middle, sadly.
Yeah, it's between San Marino, which is going to be... Good or bad, it's going to be attention-grabbing. And then after North Macedonia is Sweden, which is going to be almost certainly top three.
I'd say top five. Benjamin Ingrosso last year, a lot of people loved him. Jury gave him a lot, but he did not get any televotes.
Yes.
This song is different. This song's great.
I don't think this one is going to have that problem. I think Dance You Off really kind of struck as...
Oh, man, when he got on stage, he had
Here's Swedening again. We've heard this. For real. Like it was just, it was so Sweden, stereotypically Sweden Swedish. And I feel like John Lundvik is also pretty strongly Swedish in that sense. But I don't know. I think this song is better. I think the performance is better. I think he's more likable. And the Ingrossos are like the Kardashians of Sweden. And I feel like if that's a pretty well-established thing in all of Europe, I could see a lot of people just being like, well, I'm not voting for this.
I'm going to roll my eyes as I televote for Lithuania instead.
Privileged pretty boy type of guy.
Sweden's followed by Slovenia, yours and Sam's, darling.
Mm-hmm. Good change of pace there. And then we pick it right back up with Cyprus on replay, doing their second consecutive Fuego. Still like that one. I feel like some of the rehearsal footage of Cyprus was pretty rough. It seemed like it just wasn't all that put together. But when the show came, it was pretty good.
She went on first, and this is something I noticed about the second semifinal, is I think there was a ton of nerves because she seemed short of breath a lot of her performance.
Yes.
So as long as she gets that under control, I'll love her performance. Then,
for sure.
Then she's followed by the Niederlander. That's gonna be. Yeah,
we've discussed that one enough.
We've discussed it
at this point enough.
I still don't understand it. It's gonna get one, two, or three. I don't know. And then Greece, our lovely Grecian Florence and the Machine.
Mm-hmm. Glad to see that made it. That's a really well done. Staging is very cool looking. That seems like a good way to close out the half.
Yeah.
Second half, I'm just going to run through this really quick. Israel, Norway, United Kingdom, Iceland. Oh, man, that's a run. Estonia, Belarus, Azerbaijan, France, Italy, Serbia, Switzerland, Australia, Spain.
Israel's is kind of subpar.
It's a rough one for me. I think it's the sort of song you send when it's
a sure bet.
Well, and when you're hemorrhaging money on hosting and don't want to have to do it again.
That's true.
Because this is a surefire way to have to do that.
And then Norway, our other splash of weirdness. Love that.
Mm-hmm. Also, my number one this year, in case you missed the last one. I absolutely adore this song. I think it has all the elements of just a perfect, crazy Eurovision
From the American thing. Perspective, Norway's song seems like peak Eurovision.
It might not
be as outlandish as peak Eurovision is, but man, this ticks a lot of the classic boxes.
It is quintessential in its Eurovisionicity.
It's quite regionally. It's very poppy.
Mm-hmm.
It's very animal ears.
It's very animal ears.
That's followed by the UK. Which is
it's a
remind
decent,
me what that is?
It's called Bigger Than Us.
Bigger Than Us.
It's by this pudgy white boy.
Won The Voice or whatever. Britain's Got Talent, whatever.
It's a decent song and it's competently sung, but it's the UK, so who cares? And then
I'm mostly pleased that it's there because it is immediately followed by Iceland.
Yes.
I told you that is going to be the biggest tonal and, I'll be a little mean, quality whiplash of the entire second half is going right from the UK, and he's going to finish up and he's going to go, thank you, Eurovision. He's going to walk off, and then we're going to get... Lights are going to go down. You are seeing red. You are seeing chains and spikes. And get ready. We're going to Iceland. And it's going to be mean for 3 minutes. We're going to yell at you. I love this song. This song is not something that I would have ever encountered otherwise. I love it. If we go to Reykjavik, if Reykjavik happens 2020, then, you know.
Party in Reykjavik for sure.
Plus, they'll be performing the grand final at like 3 in the afternoon.
I know. That'll be nice. You can get a nap. I'm just suddenly now envisioning the hypothetical 2020 Eurovision Song Contest that opens with that song being performed.
By, let's say...
get a choir in there and like...
Can you imagine Salvador Sobral singing this song?
No.
They bring him in. It's great. No. They reunite ABBA to sing this song.
I don't know if you know this about Salvador, by the way.
Yes.
But like he, I'm going to choose my words carefully here. It's not necessarily that he hates Eurovision. It's just very much not his bag, so to speak. The fact that he was there at all was surprising.
It was kind of a coup.
And in a lot of interviews, he was very vocal about his disdain for pop music and his disdain for the sorts of things that are normally in the Eurovision Song Contest against disdain for his competition, really.
Yes.
And
it just makes us want him even more, doesn't it?
Well, I think it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. They thought he was being disrespectful to the other artists. And I don't think he meant it that way. I just think he's a purist. And so I would go on a limb and say, I bet Salvador is into Iceland.
I'll bet he is.
Because like him, it is pushing in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
After Iceland, there is a bathroom break section, as it were. Estonia.
It is dumb like them.
I sang it about as well as he did.
Love him. All right. After Estonia, it's Belarus. Am I going to like it? The answer is no. I was not going to like it. Belarus.
Yeah.
That's the choice that happened. Then Azerbaijan. That's not a toilet break. I mean, you left for your 6.5 minutes. Please come back for Azerbaijan.
For sure.
He's going to get open heart surgery done by a laser on stage. Nice to see San Marino's robots from last year matured into surgical equipment.
Into a whole new role, a new journey for them, which is good to appreciate. After Azerbaijan, we've got France, which the consensus seems to be didn't seem like much on first listen, but seeing the whole thing put together in rehearsals, it has jumped up the odds board a bit. It's very cool. He sings it very well live, and there is a very strong message of acceptance and empowerment.
This displays words on the back.
There are words on the back.
There are words on the back.
Yes.
After France is Italy. Doing the podcast, I have not had opportunity enough to voice this because Italy does seem to be objectively a well-received song. I love Italy. I love Italy. About a week ago, I said Italy is probably going to win. I mean, I don't believe that anymore, but I do love this song.
It's got an outside shot, I would say. It's right in the middle of some real heavy hitters, Azerbaijan and France right before it. Serbia, another.
What's Serbia's again?
That one is Kruna or Crown. It's not super high on my list, but I'm sure we'll do okay as a song of its ilk. There aren't a lot of them in there. Then we get into a couple of really 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 big ones back to back. Switzerland with She Got Me, which is great. This was another one where, seeing the rehearsals, I was a little bit worried. He wears just like a tracksuit, which doesn't make a ton of sense.
A tracksuit with like a weird sheer mesh but it works because he dances well.
Yeah, I think
he dirty dances very well.
He dirty dances very well. Good. Seeing it with the camera angles as designed and the level of lighting and things like that, it totally worked for me.
It works.
Sings very well for as actively as he's dancing, which is awesome. I am super, super into that. That's probably my number two behind Norway this year. Love that one. Not sure if it's going to win, and a big part of that is because it is going right behind Australia.
Right behind Goth Crazy Daisies. I really love the staging of this song. I love the talent that is required by this song. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it is hard to appreciate how difficult it can be. And I kind of alluded to this with Switzerland, and that he sings these punctuations like dirty dancing and stuff like that while he's moving very, very frantically. Mm-hmm. It is very hard to sing in situations.
Can you imagine the amount of back and core engagement that is unending while singing this song?
I really can't. So if you haven't seen it, if you're planning on tuning in to Eurovision this Saturday, if there's one song you need to make absolutely sure you
don't watch.
That you do not miss, it's gotta be Australia. I'm not saying for sure that it's going to win, but it is by far the most remarkable visual thing, maybe the most remarkable staging we've had in a few years. And what's amazing to me about it is some of these just stills from it, where there are these three people very high up in the air, one of whom is singing operatically, and there's this cosmic imagery in the background. And so just the still photographs of this thing are unbelievable, and none of it is CGI. Mm-hmm. There's some LED screens and then a little bit of smoke and acrobatics and so on, because they're up on these pole things. It's crazy. It's really crazy. If you're going to watch one Eurovision song, I don't know how you would get into that scenario specifically.
Well, I've timed it perfectly. I'll watch it at exactly like whatever, 56.
Yeah. Tune in at like 3:30 Central and catch Australia, and then you can go back to golf or whatever you do.
After Australia, we finish Eurovision 2019 with a party.
That's right.
I'm glad it's Spain. Spain's La Venda. I'm glad that this ends it. I hope Spain finishes in the top 10. From what I gather, Spain has had a rough past couple of years.
That is true.
With Eurovision, this one is great. I love Mickey. He's a great performer. Mm-hmm. This is a fun song. I can't wait.
Yeah, I wish it was a little bit earlier. I wish it had a bit more of a prime spot, because at the end, I'm just not sure that it's going to have the impact.
Oh, there's a lot of fatigue that sets in.
Yes, yeah. Very, very much so. This would have been a great one to start with, like Malta is. That would have been very cool. Or just maybe opening the second half, or just somewhere besides the very end. Mm-hmm. But someone's got to go last, and I don't know that he's going to win. So it is what it is.
No.
So that's that. So we've gone through the whole final. Danny, who's going to win?
The viewing audience at home. And also, I hope Iceland.
Iceland?
Okay. Also, I hope Iceland.
So that's who you hope will win. Who do you think's going to win?
Who do I think is going to win? Like, I don't know, last year I didn't think Netta was going to win, even though I wanted her to. I also wanted Fuego to win, and those wound up being the top two.
Yeah.
So let's just go with my gut. Who is a combination of what I think is the best and who I love the most? I think it will be between... what a question. I think it's going to be between... Let's just go with it. In an ideal world, it'll be between Australia and Iceland.
Okay.
I'll say that. I will say that as much. Maybe Sweden. I'll do those three.
Okay. I'm kind of inclined to agree with you. I mean, Norway's my favorite song, so I guess that's the one I would like to win. But among the real contenders, I think Iceland would be the best case scenario for me. My gut says it's going to be Australia. That's my guess.
I have a sneaking suspicion that everyone's going to be right, though, and it is going to be the Netherlands. I'd be just disappointed if it did.
I don't know. I think with respect to what the betting odds are saying, Australia is just going to blow people away.
Yeah.
And then I'm not sure what happens because
they're going to take it to Australia.
Well, they're not going
to take
it.
They're going to have to stage the finals at 3 a.m.
Do it in Perth. It's 4 hours closer. No, I don't know. I think then it just ends up being in Paris or London or something.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But that's my guess. I'm going to stick with that. My gut says Netherlands is not going to win. But again, that's, we've got this perspective where we're not, you know, super clear on it. So I guess we'll see what happens.
We will see what happens.
That is that, I suppose.
The next time they hear from us, Eurovision 2019 will be over.
That's right.
It'll be like Christmas coming and going. Yeah. We won't even have a New Year's to look forward to.
And Sam will be back.
She will be.
We can ask her all about all the falafels and also Eurovision.
And all the beaches she went to. Apparently they have beaches. We don't have beaches in Minnesota.
That's true. We don't. Well,
there's nothing left to say, America. So, America, stop listening now.